Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over the three points that John is making in these 10 verses. Number one, realizing the danger. Number two, the ability and the power that is given to us so that we may realize the danger. And number three, the way to fight against the danger. On the last broadcast, we were looking at the first point, and I'm going to continue that first point again today. In order to understand what danger John is talking about, we need to read verses 18 and 19 again. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. John says here that the fact that there are many antichrists, not just a few, but many antichrists, who oppose the Word of God and are hostile to divine truth, and who are determined to undermine biblical Christianity by teaching things contrary to sound doctrine, John says that the fact that there are many antichrists proves that we are living in the last hour. Now, some clarification is in order here. The meaning of the term the last days or the last hour is misunderstood by many today. This term is used to discuss that period of time that began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that will end with the return of our Lord to this earth. It is the time that is designated as A.D. on the calendar. A.D. is Latin for Anno Domini, which means the year of the Lord. Another way of looking at the term the last days is to equate this period with the Christian era or the church age. So we are now entering into our third millennia in the period of time known as the last days or last hour, as John tells us that before the end of the first century or even before his death around the year 96 A.D., that there were at that time what John calls many antichrists who lived and breathed and who were operating on the earth. Now, the reason I bring this to your attention is so that many today, when they hear the word antichrist, think only of that man of lawlessness that Paul refers to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who is supposed to rise up in the near future. But that is not the person that John was referring to here. When John used the term Antichrist, he was speaking about those certain persons that Jude talked about. I want you to read Jude verse 4 and see what both John and Jude were talking about. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Jude says here that there are certain persons, not everybody, but certain persons, who creep or who sneak into the church, usually when the leaders of the church are asleep at the wheel. And these certain men do not come into the church to learn or be taught or love the brethren and serve Jesus Christ. No, these certain persons are special. Jude says here in this verse that these men are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Now, what in the world does that mean? The word marked out comes from the Greek word, which normally means to appoint. But is used in this case, it means to post up publicly in writing. Those who were summoned before courts of justice were said to be posted or marked up ahead of time because they were cited by posting up their names in some public place. Now, even in our day, the case is to be heard by a judge or written down or marked beforehand and are posted up in a public place in the courthouse. So what Jude is declaring is that judgment was published or declared in writing ahead of time for these certain persons. And those whose names were posted up in writing in some public place were proscribed as persons doomed to die with a reward offered to whoever would kill them. So Jude verse 4 is referring to those people who not only must give an account to God for their crimes, for purposely deceiving people, they are liable to God's judgment. And it also means that those who are destined to be punished for the punishment that they deserve. So John amplifies what Jude taught by using a term to describe these heretics that only John used, the term Antichrist. And the term that John uses here is a transliteration of the word Antichristos, which literally means those who oppose Christ or those who are against Christ or those who stand in the place of Christ. Now look back at Jude verse 4 again and see what these people fight against. Jude said that these certain persons, these many antichrists, turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So John is echoing the words of Jude in warning the church that these ungodly antichrists are attacking Christianity from three fronts. They attack the grace of God, they attack the character and nature of God the Father, and they attack the person of Jesus Christ in either his full humanity or his full deity. So John writes these inspired words to wake up the slumbering church to the fact that biblical truth about grace, biblical truth about God the Father and Jesus was being twisted by these people for the purpose of destroying the Christian faith. So that is point one that John is making here, that divine truth was under assault, and that the only remedy for this error is a good dose of truth. So here's the bottom line. Christianity was not established in the earth by building church buildings. Now, buildings are necessary, to be sure, but buildings will come and go. Christianity was established in the earth through the divinely inspired words of the apostles who defined what Christianity is. And without the 21 letters or epistles of the New Testament, no one would have a clue how to be saved or what the purpose and function of the church is supposed to be. The letters by these particular men defined all of that for us by articulating all the various doctrines that together make up what is called Christianity. Without the words of the epistles, without the final revelation from God to man as written down by the apostles, we don't have Christianity. Without sound, concrete, objective truth, we would be left to make up our own religion as we go along, which is precisely what the certain persons and antichrists of John and Jude's day were teaching. So when anybody, well-meaning or not, sincere or not, begins to monkey around with those biblical doctrines, those inspired words, those objective truths that God gave to the apostles through the vehicle of inspiration, then John and Peter and Paul and James taught that these people and their false teaching needs to be exposed for what they are and rendered useless by a great proliferation of the truth. Now, many times the reason that John, Paul, Peter, or James needed to address a particular issue in these 21 New Testament epistles was because false teaching was already going on. These many antichrists, these certain persons, had already done what Jude was and John was said they were going to do, and their false teaching was wrecking havoc in the church. Look at verse 19 of 1 John chapter 2 with me. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Now, the certain persons that Jude described and the many antichrists that John mentions were alive and well and already operating in the church. And so these apostles wrote down God-breathed words precisely to counteract or nullify the lies and deception of the enemy and set the record straight. Now, thank God that the apostles were faithful to their calling and did not look at this attack against biblical Christianity as not being worthy of their effort like so many do today. John, Paul, Peter, James, and the other men whom God entrusted to establish Christianity in the earth saw any attempt at altering the gospel or any attempt at teaching wrongly about the character and nature of God or any attempt at teaching wrongly about the person of Jesus Christ as being an attack by Satan himself against the church of the firstborn, and these men rose up in righteous indignation, and they pulled no punches in confronting these people and of exposing their lies. When these people are exposed with truth, when the blanket that they hide under is thrown off, when true light is placed upon their darkness, these people will tuck tail and run for the hills. Antichrists cannot stand to be held accountable to the Word of God. They are fine as long as the sheep simply obey them. But when the spotlight of truth is shown upon them and what they teach, and what they teach is held accountable to the Word of God, they faint dead away. That is exactly what happened when John began to confront the Gnostic mystics and the Greek philosophers with divine revelation. These people knew the jig was up, and they quickly felt led to leave. So here in verse 19, John says that the very fact that these people were not willing to repent, but held on to their false doctrine when presented with the truth, and because they abandoned Christianity, proved beyond any doubt at all that they were never truly saved to begin with, and that they never belonged to Jesus at any time or point in their lives. So when John says that these people went out from us because they were not of us, he's not talking about people who were saved, who then turned around and lost their salvation. No, no. John is teaching that because they did not remain faithful to Jesus, because they did not continue on repenting, continue on pursuing God, continuing on hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because these people did not continue on serving and following after the Lord, that proved that they were never saved to begin with. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.